the difference between, well, I guess an alcohol suntan takes a while to kick in, right?
It's like nose based.
It's a nose centric.
Does he have a bright red nose?
Nose based. I have a nose based rash. I'm working on a nose based suntan. You'll know that it begins here at the epicenter, and then it sort of, the nose is ground zero for Scott suntan. It's nose based. That's funny. All right. Hello there. I'm not even going to pretend that we're prepared. It's 1 minute and 32 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of April of the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970. Solid state. there's a cough button I've been using. Solid state radio. Thank you for coming along. We're here in beautiful. Hold on. That's much better. Here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Monday, and welcome to day 12. If you'd like to be part of today's program for whatever reason, it's 503-733-29. I've been moving my computer. Who's been sleeping in my bed? Why, my computer's all covered with grease. Oh, wait, no.
That's the Tim Riley story.
That's the kind of respect you get after having 30 years in this business. Somebody comes in and sits down a quarter pounder on your space bar.
Oh.
I'm just going to put this big half-pound bag of fries right on your computer, Tim. I hope you don't mind.
Because I just can't make it through a two-hour show without eating.
Damn. Okay.
Wow.
All right, then.
Of course, we don't post rules telling people how to behave here, but
we suggest
a little decorum.
Except for the one on the door that says, please keep all food on a window ledge or the back shelf.
Well, they think they're talking to somebody named Gracias, because that's what it says in the panel.
Hey,
Gracias,
you,
what show are they on?
You, Gracias. Tired of your things being spread all over the room. Keep it on a back shelf. The best part was, and I always sort of forget about it. It's sort of like the rainy season in Portland. You know, you go through summer, you go through whatever, and by the time November comes around, you sort of have blocked out that the rainy season exists. And then November comes, and downpour, and you kind of go, oh, damn it, crap, you know, and it just sort of comes flooding back. Between Friday afternoon and Monday morning, I sort of forget about the fact that the studio is just used by a pack of monkeys over the weekend. And I forget about it until Tim Riley, who is my weekend board op, greasy food all over the keyboard alarm clock. Because Monday morning at around 10:15, I hear this, oh God, my keyboard is all greasy again.
There's greasy fingerprints on the counter.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. I mean, I do.
Yes, you do.
Let's move them to yours.
Your microphone.
Yeah, trying to think about the grease on that microphone.
Someone licking their fingers or pushing.
All right. I'm sorry. I don't mean to make grist out of your pain. I'm just saying, it just is ridiculous. Radio is just filled with the worst people.
It is.
And for once, I'm not speaking of us. It really is filled with just terrible people. Why, hello, it's Monday, and welcome to day 12.
I'm glad I don't come here during the weekend.
503-733-2970. I've got a carbo load halfway through my show. At the 60-minute mark, body process is slow to a stop. If I don't shovel a Carl's Jr. $6 burger into my mouth. I'm sorry. I don't mean to speak ill of people who use the studio when we're not around. You know what I feel like? And now look, I should do the whole introduction. I'm sorry. And then I'll tell you exactly what I feel like. Hey, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of our program today with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your corrections, your two cents, your what have you, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. If you'd like to engage with us electronically in some fashion. This is normally the part of the show where I would then forward promote the many things we're going to get to today. If only I knew what those things were. I have a very tangled method for, like a lot of people, people who lived in Utah, I took the Franklin Covey seminar, which is, you know, the Franklin Planner. It's like it's big. It seems like a day runner kind of thing. It's an appointment book. And I know that now that I have the Motorola Q and the everything, I'm supposed to have transitioned over to making all my appointments electronically, having my task list, all my little handheld, whatever. But I just can't. I'm just such a slave to my Franklin Planner, which I guess is now a Franklin Covey Planner. I'm just such a slave to that thing that I have tried 3 or 4 or 5 times to start living my life according simply and solely to my Motorola Q, my handheld computer. I just can't, though. I'm a papyrus man. You know what I mean? I'm a man of the printed page. And so I just use my Franklin Planner for everything. And so one of the things they tell you in the Franklin Covey seminar, I say, making everybody listen up attentively, because there's nothing more exciting than hearing someone describe a Franklin Planner seminar that you yourself never went to. I only remember this because it made me giggle, where the guy kept saying, he used this phrase like 100 times, try to avoid leaving floaters. Don't have any floaters left behind. And he said it like 50 times. And floaters in the Franklin Covey patois are apparently little post-it notes that you just stick everywhere. You know, you got them on your computer monitor, you got one on your door, you got one in your desk, you put one on your keyboard, you got one inside the Franklin, you've got notes scribbled on your hand. Those are all floaters. And so he kept saying, try not to leave a floater behind when you're done. When you're done, you want to make sure that there are no floaters left there. And so I was like 19, and so I was just snickering helplessly into my hand, trying not to laugh. I am terrible with that, though. So what? But I got it down to a science. So where over the course of the day, I will have post-it notes everywhere, but then I consolidate. Before I go home, I consolidate. And I do the same thing before we come on the air. All morning long, I write down little things for the show and little musings and little observations on post-it notes, like with this one right here. Post-it note right here. Just full of little observations and things that people said to me. And then at around 10:30 every morning, you probably don't want to know this, but Sarah, I'm sure, has mentioned this in the past. Around 10:30 every day, I go into the bathroom. And
I didn't know that.
No, it's true. You commented on that.
No, use the bathroom every break.
I use the bathroom. I use the bathroom in the morning, and that is where I try to think about the contents of the post.
To all holy God, I have never noticed that you go to the bathroom every day at 10:30.
Really?
Yes.
Every day at 10:30.
That's weird.
By clockwork. Every day, 10:30. And this is the really weird part, whether I need to or not. Even if I go there and I just, you know, and then nothing, and then I just come out again. Just wash my hands having done nothing and come out again. It's part of my routine. Even if I don't need to, it's not part of it. This is why I can never take drugs. Because you hear about drug people who are just so into the ritual of it. You get people that, you know, they get some coke fiend or whatever, and they're like, well, like you hear Brett Favre talk about he was hooked on Vicodin, and he was so hooked on Vicodin. This is a disgusting story, by the way. Brett Favre was so hooked on Vicodin that just the ritual of cracking open the bottle or whatever, and, you know, like whatever, I guess you take out the cotton or whatever's in the top, and pouring the pills into his hand, taking the Vicodin pills, and then like staring out the window and waiting for them to take effect. That was his ritual. And he said that when he was out of Vicodin, when he was down to like his last 3 or 4 Vicodin, the ritual itself was such a turn on to him that he would do the whole ritual, crack open the bottle, throw down the Vicodin, stare out the window. He would do that. I swear to God, this is true. He would do that. And then Elton John style, he would just throw the pills back up, wash them off, and do the whole thing over again. Wash them off and just, well, let's take these again for the first time. That's how I am. I'm all about the ritual. So every day at 10:30, go to the bathroom, whether I need to or not. That's where I think about the post-it notes. I assemble all the post-it notes and do a thing and do a whatever. I have not done that today. So I'm looking down here, and it's just a cluster F. It's just everywhere. I mean, it's, you know, it'll all work out, I suppose. But it's just, there's little notes and pieces of paper and little whatnots everywhere. Everywhere, all around me. Little half-written phrases. It just says, or here it just says, Susan DVD. I guess eventually I'll figure out what that means. You know what I feel like, though? Tim was talking about it. It's Monday morning, and so it's time for Tim. It's time for Tim Riley's every Monday morning. There's some sort of lard all over my computer.
The cleansing.
And so we have those Lysol handy wipes back there. I don't know if you've seen those. On the back shelf.
I'm sure everyone has seen them. There are those who just don't know how to use them.
There are
If you want to commit a crime, cover it up.
The thing is, there used to be many, well, not many. There used to be two weekend shows that happened at the studio. So you can sort of tell yourself, well, I don't necessarily know who's to blame for this. But now, you know, the gymnasium went away. So now there's only, so now you know.
They used to just break things.
But they did it cleanly.
Right.
They broke things, but they didn't
big thing.
Didn't leave sludge behind everywhere. See, now Sarah's doing it, too. Now Sarah's wiping down the keyboard.
Could I have another one of those?
Yes, you may.
But you know what I feel like?
Thank you. This is the Lysol handy wipes.
There you go.
Oh, thank you very much.
You know what I feel like, though? I feel like in the Tonight Show set, is it, Carson used to complain about the Tonight Show set being used for, they would film like infomercials or some crap there on the weekend. Like they would come, and I know Lycus has complained about that.
Well, right? That used to also be the set for Channel 4 News. They just had one usable set there in Burbank before they expanded the building, so they would wheel everything out between shows. That was used for two or three, except the seats stayed there.
I think there are other people who have called. I think Leno has mentioned that in the past. Letterman also, even in his new studio, I think Letterman has complained about that.
Right. Leno has a new set. He doesn't have the original Tonight Show set.
I think Letterman has said that, like, on his, what is it they did on, like Letterman's set? They would film some. I want to say it was like some Regis special or something that was being filmed on Letterman's set on the weekend. He was all pissy about it. Anyway, not to compare ourselves to Johnny Carson, but we are the primary users of the studio. I mean, we are 98% of the airtime during the week. You know, that is live. It's us. I mean,
this was built for us.
Yeah, and I'll let you say that. I hate to say that kind of stuff. It makes me sound like some power mad Napoleonic bastard. So I don't wish to say that, but it's true. I mean, whatever one thinks about the quality of our program, CBS, they were fools enough to build us a studio. So they built this studio for us. The very able-minded Jeff McGinley constructed this studio for this show. And out of the goodness of our hearts, we let others use it on the weekend. That's a privilege that can be revoked, I suppose. Well, no, Tim has triggered it now. Tim has set it off. So others use this studio on the weekend, and Tim is still wiping with the Lysol handy wipes. He's going to town over there. It's like he's brushing his teeth after a pie-eating contest. Anyway, so we let others use this studio on the weekend, and every Monday morning without fail, Tim sits down at his keyboard and says, this computer is covered in filth and slime. So,
all right.
Well, there used to be many people to blame. Now there's only one show to blame.
Mm-hmm.
And on that show, there's only four people.
And they're only in here for 2 hours. 2 hours.
Eat before you come to work.
We have an excuse because we're all here for 5 hours.
It's true. We're here from 10 to 3 every day, getting ready and then doing the show. They're here for 2.
I mean, this is a bigger counter than Mel's Drive-In, but it is not Mel's Drive-In. This is a great place to spread out a Happy Meal.
Just put a trough over by the door. All right. Fantastic. Why don't I assemble my fajita right here on top of Tim's machine?
Yeah.
Why don't I just
make on top of the keyboard?
why don't I just put out a build-your-own taco bar right on top of the computer? All right, it's 503-733-2970. That's fantastic.
All right, maybe for you.
No, I just mean in general. 503-733-2970. All right. Well, what have we got coming up today?
I honestly don't know.
This is exciting news. We have Lisa Goddard, who's going to join us today. And then I won't reveal this, but she's going to be revealing something exciting. When we talk to her later on, it'll be in this hour, around 11:40. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard about Hillary Clinton, who I guess has raised like more money than God. Something, $26 million. No, I'm sorry, $36 million. $36 million. If you could raise, here's why, and it's not like a lot of people mention this, but every now and again I'll get somebody, well, you know, you talk a lot, why don't you do a politics thing, which that's never going to happen. Things, and if you work in radio, if you are a talk show host, Here's the thing. If you are a talk show host, it's just a matter of time before somebody suggests that you A, go into law, or B, become a politician. Neither of those things are ever going to happen. I'm not going to do either of those. Here's why. Because if I got $36 million, do you think I'd still be in town if I could raise $36 million? Give me $36 million for it, man. And you would come to my house the next day, and it'd be like Harrison Ford's place in the Mosquito Coast. Curtains blowing in the wind, television blaring, no one home, dishes in the sink, car gone, never see him again. I would blow... If I could raise $36 million...
No, you wouldn't. You're such a creature of habit.
I would just do the show from Art Bell's house in Manila. From in a tin shed with his child bride.
I know you like to think you're as free as the wind, Rick, but we know you.
I know. All right. Well, you know, why haven't they done a reality show where they follow a lottery winner around? Somebody get on that right now. I don't know why. Because there's always these a-holes who win like $100 billion and they go, what do you do? Well, I work in a sewer. Well, what are you going to do Monday? Go back to work. I mean, why would you do that? I want to see a TV show. And then, of course, they all end up going bankrupt. They all end up going bankrupt and strung out on cocaine. So I would like to see a reality show where they give a guy $100 million and then just watch his life implode over the next year. I would absolutely watch that show. Anyway, so Hillary Clinton raised $36 million, which is fantastic. John Edwards, who will not win anything. This is the weird thing about American politics. He's not going to win any. He's never going to be elected to anything past vice president. He's already raised $15 million for a guy... I don't understand if other people are dumb or we're just really smart or it's some combination of the two. Because we in this room all know that John Edwards will not be president. We know that. I wouldn't give that guy $10. He seems like a nice guy. He seems like a smart guy. I agree with him a lot of things. I'm not going to give him any money. Why? Money ill spent. You will never get that money back. That's money that you will never see. You'll never see anything from. Well, like he's going to peddle your influence. You know, there's going to be no influence because he's not going to win anything. And yet, he's raised $14 million for a guy that we all know. Like, we're not the brightest, the bunch of knives in the thing. Made no sense.
In the thing?
I guess we're not. And why would a bunch of knives be bright? Well, whatever.
Why would knives be in the thing?
Why we're not the... We're not the smartest bunch of people on earth, but I mean, we know right now for a fact John Edwards will not be president, and yet he's raised $14 million from people. That really does indicate to me that I could probably do it. I have to start doing that right now. I have to start raising money for some pointless, never going to amount to anything political campaign right now, just see how much I could raise. That's probably been done. Some dick with a domain name has probably done that. GiveMeAMillionDollars.com or some crap.
All right.
What else? Brian Blank is going to talk to us today. Apparently that's not funny, but I mean, it's just the company's handled this so badly. Apparently that pet food just continues to kill things left and right. So that's a company that you don't have to worry about investing in ever again. So we'll talk about that. What else? It is Monday. Oh, we're talking Peter Carlin. You know why? Bam! Because the new Shield season starts tomorrow. New season of the Shield, which Peter Carlin, by the way, has had on DVD. He's had the first 5 episodes of the new season of Shield on DVD for like 2 weeks. Does he let Rick Emerson wet his beak? No, he does not. Despite the many favors I've done for Peter Carlin in my life, do those favors come back? No. I am repaid with scorn. Anyway, so the new season of The Shield, which is... I don't want to start gushing about it right now. But it's like I was on the MySpace earlier and Seamus was talking about it. Seamus, who was like the official mascot, I think, of my MySpace page. Seamus, if you don't know Seamus, Seamus is a listener in Denver who I'm pretty sure is actually more beloved at this point than I am. He posts a lot on the MySpace page, both mine and Sarah's and whatnot. And I really think if the listeners had to put it to a vote right now that they'd rather keep Seamus around than me. Mm-hmm. Just so beloved to see by everybody on my MySpace page. But he was talking about The Shield today, and I got to tell you, man, the first 5 seasons of The Shield have been so good, nearly flawless. I swear to God, Sean Ryan, if you screw it up, if you F it up, and the show just implodes after the 50s, because that's always when it happens. See X-Files, see Buffy. It always happens. See West Wing. It always happens at the 5th season. So we'll see. So Peter Carlin's going to join us to talk about The Shield. What else? I guess I have other things to talk about. Maybe they're in this pile somewhere. Who's to say, really? It's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon Rye. Hello there.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, did you sleep at your new place last night?
I did, and the night before.
Yeah, so what? You don't have a bed, though. You just got the mattress?
I have the mattress, and then yesterday, my friend Tuggy took me back to my old house, and I got the box spring. So now I have all the pieces of the bed there, but I haven't put the bed together.
But your place is fantastic, by the way.
Thank you. I told you. It's amazing.
I didn't believe you. I know that most of your friends didn't believe you. We were talking about this when you were out of the room, that when you were describing it to us, we all figured it was just some basement hovel. No, because, I mean, it's...
Because it's a rare... It's a rare find. I know it. That is a lucky...
Very lucky.
Yeah.
Just to be fair, single girl working in radio... You know, we figure that, A, you don't need a lot of space, so it wouldn't be a big place. And also, you're working in radio, so how nice of a place could it really be?
Even Mary Tyler Moore just had a studio apartment.
Totally. Is that true?
Yeah. That was just a studio apartment.
I don't remember it being a studio apartment.
It was a studio apartment.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we figured it was just, you know, some rat hole apartment, you know, in the basement that some crazy lady was running to you. And so we go over to... And by the way, I would like to point out that this is the first... So this is at least the third time I've helped you move.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's like the fifth.
When I first, because I remember you helped me move from the beginning. When my first apartment here, from the basement to the first floor.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And then, no, you didn't.
I did.
And then did you help me move with the unpleasantness?
I helped you move in with that boy.
Yeah.
Did I help you move out?
No.
Okay. So this is at least the third time.
But you did help me...
That's about average. I'm pretty sure. No.
Third or fourth.
That's average. Yeah. So this is, I think, the third time I've helped you.
My friends Corey and Rhaenyra have helped me move in and out of everything. They're so good.
Is that who they are? Have I met them?
I think so.
They kind of knew me, but I didn't know them, and it was all awkward, and I couldn't remember if they had met. Well, whatever. Anyway, so you moved into a really nice place. Your house is fantastic. I do have to say this, though. I wish that we had taken a photograph of the room you moved out of and the house you moved into, because you were just renting a room. Not a whole place. Just a room in a guy's house.
Mm-hmm. It's 10 feet by 10 feet.
It is a prison cell, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You were renting a room in this guy's house. You now have your own place, again, which is huge and beautiful. It really is a nice place. But I don't understand.
I don't either.
How all of that crap we moved fit in this 10 by 10 room. Seriously, I always use that phrase, 10 pounds of mud in a 5-pound sack, haha. But seriously, when we moved to your house, when we had moved all of your stuff, we looked around and we're like, how in the F did this all fit in that 10 by 10 room? You figured out some way to, like, I'm pretty sure that in the back of your closet there was some sort of a black hole or a white hole or something. There was no way. It was unreal. And let me just say this. We always make fun of how much clothing you have, but good goddamn. There's like 15 trash bags full of clothing. Three of them are just full of shoes.
Yeah, you left. After you left, I know. I counted my shoes. I have over 50 pairs.
Good.
And then, then we were going through the garbage bags, and Rhaenyra and Lisa and I went through all my clothes, and they got some new clothes. Well, my old new clothes. I got rid of, like, three garbage bags.
And I will say this. You own a bunch of things that I will swear on a stack of Bibles you have never worn, that you have never, I have never seen you wear ever.
I did give Rhaenyra a pair of shoes that I've never taken the tags off of.
Let me ask you this. When is the last time you wore that leather skirt? And why do you own a leather skirt?
I thought it was cool.
Uh-huh. How do you feel about that now?
I think I can rock it.
Okay. And you had a bunch of gold lamé in there, too. I don't think I've seen you wear that.
I totally forgot about all those dresses. I have all my, like, puffy 80s dresses.
What about those?
I don't know why I have.
What about those brown Naga hide boot things that you had? You know the ones I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Thing on top?
You've
never worn those.
I haven't. Those are the ones I gave to Rhaenyra.
Okay, because your friends were saying those were the worst things they'd ever seen.
Oh, well, Rhaenyra took them.
Oh, never mind.
With the brown boot.
Moving on, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Not enough room in the trunk to take the kids to the beach? Why not put them in the trunk? As the Hillsboro dad did, and he got caught. Portland police lower the bar for hiring new recruits. Avril Lavigne's mom destroyed her emotionally by forcing her to attend a Britney Spears concert. And a man bites a wife for not cooking.
Really?
Yes.
Excellent. You shouldn't bite people, but I do appreciate that the humans go out of their way to create news for us. Let's see here. We have this. Rick, take the computer keyboard with you when you leave.
That's a great idea.
You should totally pack that keyboard up and take it with you.
I wonder if this will fit in my locker.
Locker? Oh, wait, hold on. I didn't know. Locker.
I barely knew her.
I bet it's right now. He's like trying to trace the cord back. That you should totally do that. You should totally take the keyboard with you.
Darn it, I'm going to do that.
Take the keyboard.
Take the keyboard, leave the cannolis.
All right.
I'll lock into my locker over the weekend.
That'll totally show up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's see. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's see. What have we got this? This says... Well, I don't know what this says. This is an email I can't read. Rick, did I just hear you correctly that at 10:30 every morning you go to the bathroom
and... the Rocky Sources.
Sorry,
that was all me.
Did I hear you correctly that at 10:30 every morning you go to the bathroom and consolidate your floaters? In regards to the Monday greasy keyboard situation, you should put a hidden webcam up to accumulate evidence of the glutton or gluttons who apparently cannot resist dropping their fatty detritus on your computer accessories.
Oh, we know who it is.
That's a but how great would it be? How great would it be to have a webcam?
Put it on YouTube?
have a webcam of just... like a pit of Sarlacc, just consuming everything over the course of the show.
Tasmanian devil.
You can then have some sort of combined poor eating and poor etiquette intervention and explain to them that they are not excluded by a sign that says where they are to eat just because their name is not Gracias or Lardass or whatever you have on your instructional sign. Excellent. That's fantastic. All right. Oh, and now I've just dropped the stack.
Oh, Rick. Better than coffee.
I just dropped the pile. Oh, you have no idea what a mess this is. Oh, I'm never going to get to... Now I'll never know. Now we'll never have a show today. All right. 503-733-2970. What were you, Tim, I'm sorry. Could you re-tease those all again?
I'm sorry, I can't. I just erased them.
Okay. 503-733-2970.
I'm very clean about everything. Once something is over with, it's gone.
I think I had some wacky, I had a wacky jape that I was going to...
Oh, I can probably remember them.
What were they? Do you remember?
I think I can recall some of them. Heading toward the coast with the kids? If there's not enough room, put them in the trunk. But try not to get caught as a Hillsborough man did.
What were the other ones?
Let's see. What were the other ones? Oh, Avril Lavigne.
Oh, yeah.
Is forced to go to a Britney Spears concert by her mom.
That's what I was going to talk about. Who has heard the new Avril Lavigne song, I say, Becoming a 12-Year-Old Girl? Has anyone here heard that? Boy,
she doesn't exist to me.
She's dead to you.
She looks like someone from Poison now.
Yeah, she's a little ugly.
I gotta tell you, she was never really cute. I never really found Avril Lavigne to be
like
cute.
It isn't even like an outward, like her physical appearance ugly. She just seems like a really ugly person.
Oh, she's a horrible
person. Through her face.
Oh, she's a hideous skank. You can tell. But that song of hers,
is it good?
I don't know. I don't know whether it's good or not. Here's the thing. It's not so much that it's good or bad. It's that, as I once said about Jon Bon Jovi, it is... I used to say this line. I had this line that I think I put in Bigger Than Jesus. That Jon Bon Jovi is like a rock star made out of the parts of other rock stars. That Avril Lavigne girlfriend song, which I should have brought with me, and we can't play it right off YouTube, I don't think, unless we find the video, because it's got the MF in it, because she's all edgy, where she refers to herself as being an MFing princess. But I got it's just made entirely out of the parts of songs that you've heard before. Now we got to play it. We'll play it later on. All right, Lisa Goddard is coming up. Later on, we'll have Brian Blank. We'll have the top five. Scotty J is back with us, by the way. So we'll talk to Scotty J. And then I'll sort through this pile of crap here, and we'll try to... Oh, and we have a little bit of a Simpsons update. We have an update on the Simpsons movie. Logos are coming in for Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, Emerson History X. You can go to rickemerson.com right now. You go to rickemerson.com. You can see the first... What is that? The first three or four? The first four logos that have come in. Now, if your logo is the one we pick, you'll get a big bag of crap from the AM970 crap stack, and then blah, 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 and so forth. You go to rickemerson.com, see the first four logos. That's it. We can take a break. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is a Rick Emerson radio program. Stay there. I just say this. I just had like 6 minutes during which I could have been assembling all of my papers here and figuring out what we were going to be doing during the show, and I spent the entire time in the kitchen talking about whether one of our coworkers is a pothead. Can you drop that a little bit? Thank you. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. Scotty, could you... For the love of God, it is so hard to find good health these days. Let me just, Scotty, if you can...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
All right, now entering the Rick Emerson Show, our esteemed PA... Scotty J. Hi, Scotty. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Are you looking,
Scotty J.
You look a little red today.
Yeah, it was sunny.
Is that a real suntan?
It's a real suntan just on the nose.
Not an old crow suntan?
No.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me with spray on suntan?
Well, okay, first of all.
He looks very rosy.
Now, you were where? The San Juans or San...
Well, kind of near there.
Because my wife is there.
Right, we were near there. We were probably a couple of hours, well, yeah, a couple of hours away from there on an island called Lummi Island, which is 20 minutes from the Canadian border.
You and the whole clan?
And we like the name Lummi better than Lummi, by the way, so they need to change that.
Okay. I can't see any of these calls coming in. Should I be answering these phones?
I've reset it twice, so it's an IP configuration situation.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, it means I need to connect to your computer somehow via
IP number.
I'll try, but I don't know what your number is, so I'll look at your screen there.
And... So basically, you're just going to turn it on and off again,
I've already done that, yeah.
Okay. How's that been working out for you?
Not real good.
Okay.
I had a lot of messages.
You should ask Jeff McGinley. He hasn't had nearly enough things go wrong this morning.
Poor Jeff. He looks so worked up.
Yeah.
I had some great messages about Hillary and all that. You probably missed them all. So.
Yeah. What a bummer.
Did you think you were being ignored?
I did.
Well, I probably would have ignored you regardless. But all right, we should take... So Lisa's going to be calling us in a few. And then we've got... I got to take these calls. And so forth. And then, all right, we're so behind. It is Monday. It already, I don't know if it feels like a Monday or a Friday. It feels like one of the two.
I have never seen you this disorganized before a show.
It's not that I'm disorganized. It is that I'm disorganized.
Yes.
It's just that I've got all of this material, and it's just spread around me, and I'm not quite sure how to, I haven't been able to distill it, to boil it down. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. This is Charlie.
Hey, Charlie, what's up?
If memory serves me correctly, I think that Sarah wore that leather shirt when she dressed as Nancy Spungen at your listener party.
You are awesome. Leather.
And a little creepy. Is that true?
That is completely true.
All right.
I knew it.
That's rad. Thank you.
I'll have to go back and review.
I have a ton of pictures of you and I from that.
We got to be assembling that stuff right now. That's the other thing I didn't get done this weekend.
I don't have the internet at home right now. I don't know. Yeah, I haven't hooked up my computer or anything.
We got to start assembling photographs for Listener Party 10. Our good friend Bridget, who works upstairs, is going to be helping with the layout of this sort of museum that we're going to have at Barracuda. We are now less than 3 weeks away. Listener Party 10, April 19th, Thursday at Barracuda. We're going to have this whole kind of a history of the Rick Emerson Show, and part of that's going to be a lot of photographs. And they're asking for photographs from all of our previous listener parties, and there's a million photographs of us at Listener Party 8, I guess it was, which is the, is it here, Dead Celebrities, or Here's the Money? What did we even call that?
Here's the Money That
Here's
I Owe
the
You.
Here's the Money That I Owe You.
Because it was on tax day.
That's right. I think that's the best we've ever looked. That was just the best we've ever looked, largely because we were covered with blood, and that makes everything hotter. So, it's, all right, well spotted, sir.
Hey, no problem.
Thank you. That's Charlie. All right, thank you, Charlie. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Are we still doing Lisa at 11:35? Is that the deal?
Yeah, we'll have her scheduled, but our good friend Laura Caviezel's back.
Oh, fantastic.
She's scheduled with her today.
Excellent. Just so I know how to structure everything. All right, let me go through these emails really quickly. Rick, was the greasy mess on Tim's keyboard possibly spike-driven due to the fact that he's a vegetarian? Was it a carnivore's April Fool's joke? No, I think it's just that we share the studio with Cretans. I accept part of the blame for the studio being so revolting. In that we have, you can't really see this here, but the studio is, I would say, 90% done and 90% beautiful. It really, like the first couple weeks, we went on and on about how great the studio is, and it is fantastic. It's a beautiful room. I say this with no amount of hubris, by the way. This is not pride. Effing with you. This is a simple fact. In my opinion, this is the nicest studio that CBS has. I would say for me, my point of view, this is the nicest studio in the CBS cluster, as they say. The CBS, all of CBS's stations here in Portland. Except for there's this back wall behind where Sarah sits, which is just a bunch of 1970s like bookshelves that are uncovered, and so it's like 90% of the studio was great.
It drives me insane.
It's like 90% great, and in the back, it's like Walmart or Costco. It's just lots of exposed ductwork. So there's just this back area that's just all of these exposed, terrible, like fake wood grain shelves, and people just set like their plates and their dishes and their bottles and their glasses and their forks and their knives there, and I come through about once a week, and I just give everything a good throwing. I give everything just goes right in the trash. So that's what makes the greasy keyboard thing. No, it's just that people are slobs, sir. That's the answer to that question.
And you're one of them.
I'm not. I am not a slob.
Not in the studio, but I'm saying in life.
But, you know, but I am. Here's the thing. Here's the way that my life works, though, is that I am a slob. I have this whole thing in my head where I will not be a slob in any area that I have to share with other people. Now, my wife is excluded from that because she's sort of slobby as well. So, like our house, revolting. And when people come over to visit us, we will clean, but we will only clean the areas everybody's going to use. If people come to visit us, we will clean the living room, the kitchen, the bathroom. That's it. But I tell you this right now, if you were to come over and visit us, and then you look around the house, you say, well, this isn't so bad. This seems rather tidy and enjoyable. If at any moment while visiting Laura and I, you had opened the office door or peeked into our bedroom, it just would have been, I mean, it would have been just a landfill in there. Just acres and acres of just filth and scum and just and dirty sweat socks. That's what it would have been. And the same thing with my car. If somebody else is going to be, like somebody who's not me or Laura is going to be riding in the car, go through, clean it, get it, you know, whatever. Just get it all looking nice. The rest of the time, my car is just a hole. It's just disgusting. My office upstairs is a little bit of both. But this studio, when I leave every day, the studio is flawless. I go through, I put everything back in its position, I readjust the microphones. I've always had this weird dichotomy where the studio has got... Now, during the course of the show, the studio becomes a disaster zone. Between 11 and 3, the studio just becomes... I mean, just papers and crap and bits of garbage as far as the eye can see. But by the time I leave the studio at 3 o'clock or whatever, it is clean once again. So that's what I'm saying. It had nothing to do with me being a slob. All right. Let's see here. Do I have to get these? No. Hold on. I'm looking at this here before we plunge on.
Has Scotty called CNN?
Oh, Scotty. Yeah, what's the deal with... of course, I don't think I can see it. Wait, let me see. Can I? Okay, I can. Have you... Scotty, do we know the deal with... Do we know the deal with CNN? Maybe. What does that mean? Oh, God. Just remember when Christy was here and she would type full sentences? She wouldn't just pound her fist randomly at you and call. Okay, because we're coming up on it. So, all right. And by the way, Scotty, just to give you a little self-esteem since you're back today, this email says, Scotty is a moron. Lumi is not near the San Juan Islands. It is one of the San Juan Islands. Apparently, they didn't teach map reading in the Beaverton School District. There you go. Thanks. Thank you for that. God, it's good to have that guy back. All right, it's 503-733-2970. I'm going to do a little bit of going through some of this stuff on the air. So this is normally stuff that I would have been doing before the show. But I'm going to do it now, A, because Lisa Goddard is late calling us. B, I got to get out of the way, or it's just going to be piling up later on. Tim, is this from you about the announcer guy?
It is. In a World.
The In a World guy. What is his name? Don LaFontaine. He is that guy that did, he is the In a World guy. I guess that's really the only way to introduce him. He's the guy that did the comedian trailer, right? Is he the robot renegade cop? An outpost on the edge of space, which we probably have somewhere. Do we have that? All right. There's an article about this guy because he's on, because he does a lot of things. Isn't he on, he does those Geico ads now, doesn't he? Isn't that the thing? I think he does Geico ads. And
he does.
I'm pretty sure he did something else, too. I'm pretty sure he did. What did I see him? What was I watching the other day? And it was not a Geico ad that was him. It was like, it was like an ad for Trading Spouses or something. It just didn't make any sense. And then I think he's done something for like a taco mix, like LaSalle's taco mix. Oh, this is the guy, in case you
don't know. All right, let's try this. This is the voiceover for a comedian movie trailer. Take one. In a world where laughter was king.
No in a world, Jack.
What do you mean, no in a world?
It's not that kind of movie.
Oh? Okay. In a land that...
No in a land either.
In a time...
I don't think so.
In a land before time.
It's about a comedian, Jack.
One man.
No.
When your life is no longer your own.
What does that mean?
When everything you know is wrong.
That's wrong.
In an outpost.
No.
On the edge of space.
That's my favorite.
Space. A girl.
No.
Two girls.
No.
Now.
No.
More than ever.
Stop it.
A renegade cop.
I hate you.
A robot renegade cop.
You're fired.
You're fired.
No, you're actually fired.
I'm fired.
Get out of the booth, Jack.
No. I like it in
here. I love that guy.
That's hilarious.
The guy is fantastic. So there's an article about how he is, and it's so weird that in a world thing, and I think this trailer can be pinpointed as the moment when it happened, because even though, as I pointed out, the Janine Garofalo was the one who first, she was the first one who made the observation about the in a world thing, but it wasn't until that trailer for Comedian that guy really became famous. And it's, there are so few of those guys that are able to do something like that. There's him, and his name is Don LaFontaine, and he's the inner world guy. There's him, and then there's what's his name, Michael Buffer. And Michael Buffer is the guy who says, let's get ready to rumble. Let's get ready to rumble, which is trademarked, nobody else is allowed to use it. And man, that's a gravy train right there. You're able to find one of those phrases that not only it's the phrase itself, like I've always put it, that Pat Riley owns the trademark on three-peat. So anytime you see three-peat, that phrase used in advertising or used in any sort of promotion or publicity, Pat Riley gets paid for that because he owns it. So if you can own it and then also be the guy who utters it, because I don't think there's anybody, I don't think, these are the only two I can think of. The inner world guy and the let's get ready to rumble guy. So that's going to be my goal as my life goes on, is to create another one of those. All right, so that's observation. You know what I need in the studio? I need one of those big spike things that they used to put those while you were out phone messages on. So when I get something done, I can just kind of go and just jam it right onto there.
You and a spike would not be a good thing.
That wouldn't possibly go bad. At no point. Do I have time to talk about the Guitar Hero? Okay, no.
All right.
Let's, we'll do Lisa here, and then we'll come back and get some of these calls about Scotty, and then we'll hit the news hour. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Hi there.
Guys, I'm so sorry. I'm calling late. I stink.
We're never forgiving you. You are dead to us for all time. Not
oh.
Really.
No, oh.
No, I'm just kidding. No, you sound a little beaten down. No, really, I'm just kidding. So you've got a busy day going up. We haven't announced this. We thought that you might want to tell the audience about this. Would you like to tell the audience why your midday is so busy?
Oh, geez. Oh, boy.
You don't have to.
No, I'll say, well, the basic deal is that everyone else at CNN is sick or on vacation, so I'm on CNN television today as well.
How great is that?
That is so exciting.
So congratulations. That's very
crazy.
Now, you've done that before, though, right?
I was a TV reporter before, it's true, in a previous life, and I'm reminded of how much I really do hate the hair and makeup that's involved with television.
How much time in the chair does it take you?
You know, these guys, they have a whole setup. They have people that do it for you, which is a bit ridiculous. Probably 10 minutes, they sat me down and booted me out, put me on set, bam, bam.
Fantastic. You've been on CNN television before, haven't you?
I have been, but not, I've only been doing what you call them beepers, which is over the phone.
Right. Now is
and
this.
So not so much on camera.
You've done the thing where they put your still photo up on the screen.
Yes.
Now,
exactly.
is this on CNN proper or on Headline News?
It's on the real deal, CNN proper.
Well, congratulations. So that's the top of the air.
Thank you.
We'll let you go here in just a second. I just want to ask you real quickly, this business about Hillary Clinton. So is it true she didn't raise,
yeah,
but in addition to the money she already had, she got $36 million.
How about that? $36 million for Hillary. Now, $26 million, thank you, is $26 million she raised in the last quarter. $10 million of that came from her own Senate war chest, so that's nice, and you've got $10 million extra you can kind of kick into a presidential campaign.
Does that put her way out ahead of everybody else?
You know what? Mitt Romney is not too far behind her for the last quarter. I think he raised $24 million, but she started fundraising so much sooner. Oh, thank you. And actually, how about people are clipping things to me at this exact moment?
I was just going to ask you, people were handing, have you started making demands? Have you started demanding a certain kind of seltzer?
I should. They're asking, this is a KCMD in Portland, Oregon, asking if I should request some special seltzer. Do you get those requests? They're laughing.
All right.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, whatever.
I'll tell you what, I'll let you go because I don't want to get in the way of the clipping and
Lisa,
so forth.
Lisa, what time are you on?
Right, exactly. But we should actually talk about the story. People should know that Harry Reid has now signed on to a bill that would cut the funding for the Iraq War as of next March 2008. So that's what you've been talking about this whole time. When are Democrats really going to move to cut off funding? But the truth is, this is all part of the whole game they're playing right now with the White House.
And so
And so
just because people are already emailing me about this, so you are going to be on. Is this the top of the hour, and is this for the rest of the day?
I'll be on. It's cordial. I'll be on apparently just after 3 o'clock.
Okay, and don't.
Just after 4 o'clock.
And I'm going to say, just real quick before I let you go, now this is, I will go out with a pop culture reference. Don't knock the fact that you got this gig today because everybody else is sick. If you remember, watching Night Court with Harry Anderson, that is how Harry became a judge, because on the day they were going down the list to appoint judges, he was the only person home. All the other lawyers were gone. He was the only person home, and that's how he became a judge.
That's fantastic. All right. I also have to apologize. My boyfriend scolded me for not remembering the word treadmill last week. He's like, you admitted that on air? They must think you're an idiot. It's like, I was out of it.
For not remembering what?
The word treadmill. Do you remember that last week?
You were, it was a little bit of a wacky week for you.
That was a wacky one.
You were not all there.
I'm feeling better. I'm off the cold medicine. It's all good.
All right. Excellent. Well, we'll be tuning in to see you at the top of the hour. So good luck. Congratulations. We'll talk to you soon, Lisa.
I'll be interested on your impressions. Okay.
Right,
great.
Thank you. There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen.
We got a break now.
What a day.
We can take
her. Days. Chaos. All right. We're breaking now. Come back with Lisa Goddard at the top of the hour, courtesy of CNN. We'll have Tim Riley, the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, Top 5, Brian Blank from CNN Radio New York. I'll try to figure out what the hell is going on here. We'll talk about Listener Party 10. That's coming up. Scotty J, Peter Carlin talking about Season 6 of The Shield. All that. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show continuing next.